You two can go relax. I've got this, I said, turning to wave them away after grabbing chicken breasts from the refrigerator. Maddie ran out the patio door into the backyard, where she started kicking a soccer ball around.
Sorry, she's still a little on edge around you, Hunter said.
It's totally fine, I waved away his concern. She keeps me on my toes. If I was being honest, now that the mortification had worn off, I was starting to think it was kind of funny. I liked that Maddie had a little spunk.
Is there anything I can do to help?
He offered. He was still wearing his work clothes, a dark blue suit with a white button-down shirt, which he wore very well. He'd been wearing a suit the first night I met him. The only thing he could do to help put out this fire was to bend me over the kitchen table, but of course I couldn't say that. I've got it. I can get a little bossy in the kitchen, so it's probably for the best that you don't witness that. Mostly, I just needed to get him out of here so I could focus on cooking dinner instead of thinking about spit-roasting his sausage with my tongue.
Why does that not surprise me?
He chuckled. I'm also bossy in the bedroom, but you already know that, I thought, but I bit my tongue. There would be plenty of time for dirty talk later. That is, if everything went the way I hoped it would. I tried not to think about it as I cut the potatoes and fried the chicken. Luckily, I got so in the zone when I cooked that I was able to subdue my overactive libido. I was surprisingly comfortable in Hunter's kitchen, and it was nice to cook for someone else for a change. I loved trying a new recipe, but it was less exciting when there was no one to share it with. Cooking for one was just plain boring, so a lot of nights I skipped it altogether. An hour later, I'd prepared a full meal that I hoped would be kid-friendly enough for my little frenemy, at least. My version of chicken tenders, seasoned with honey and garlic, roasted potato salad, and a flourless chocolate cake for dessert. Hunter had insisted that I stay and eat with them, and I hadn't refused.
This is amazing, he said after swallowing a bite of chicken. This is gluten-free?
It is. I've been making it for years. And thanks. I smiled at him, our eyes meeting. My pulse jumped like I'd missed a step. I quickly looked away, hoping Maddie hadn't noticed. I was hoping she and I could move our relationship in the right direction, and her witnessing me drooling over her dad wasn't going to help. Luckily, she was busy eyeing her plate suspiciously. I watched as she dug her fork in and took a small bite. Her eyes widened as she chewed, and she took another bite. How is it, Maddie? I asked. She clearly didn't realize I'd been watching her, because she immediately stopped chewing and shrugged. It's pretty good, she said in a noncommittal tone. I had to hold back a laugh. Maybe I could eventually win her over if I kept feeding her. So, Maddie, how's preschool? I asked.
Tell her about your science fair project, Hunter said.
Maddie's eyes lit up in a way I'd never seen before as she described how they were learning about fossilized footprints of dinosaurs. We made our own fossils by putting our hands in clay, and next week we're going to the museum to see real dinosaur bones, she said excitedly, and her enthusiasm was infectious. I grinned.
That's amazing.
She continued to describe dinosaur fossils with more passion than I'd ever seen. She even knew the proper names for dinosaurs that I'd never heard of. After we'd eaten, Maddie ran outside to continue playing. I watched her through the window for a minute and couldn't help but smile. She was practicing somersaults, and the look of sheer determination on her face was adorable. She might not trust me yet, but I patted myself on the back for starting to get through to her. And spending time with them was more fun than I'd expected, which only made me more attracted to Hunter. I wasn't usually into the whole dad thing, but it definitely looked good on him. His daughter was well-behaved, and he was affectionate with her, yet firm. He was a real man, one with responsibilities, a home, and a child, and something about him having his shit together was extremely hot to me. It was some type of single dad aphrodisiac I'd never experienced before. I turned from the window so I was facing Hunter, only a handful of inches separating us.
Maddie's too stubborn to say it, but she loved the food. She never finishes her plate like that when I cook. Then again, I barely know how to make frozen chicken nuggets. I grinned, more touched than I would have expected to hear that Maddie liked it. Hopefully this makes up for the trauma I've put her through. Hunter laughed.
I'd say she's forgiven you. But seriously, thanks for this. You're a lifesaver.
There was a beat of silence. It was now or never, and I just had to hope he'd be on board. If he wasn't, at least I'd know I'd been honest. I sucked in a breath. So, listen, maybe I'm reading too much into this situation, but in case I'm not... I looked him in the eye, my pulse spiking. I tried to think of a tactful way to phrase it, then decided to just blurt it out. We clearly have an attraction. God, why is my stomach suddenly in knots? It was like being a 10th grader all over again, wondering if a boy liked me. Pushing forward, I said, Maybe it's a little unconventional, but I think we're both mature enough to handle something physical between us without letting it get too messy. Plus, it's getting harder and harder not to jump on top of you every time I see you. My heart fluttering, I waited, unable to read his reaction. I told myself it would be fine if he wasn't interested. There were plenty of other men out there, right? But his face remained impassive as he watched me, and I grew more and more worried. There might be a lot of other men, but none of them were like Hunter.
Chapter 8. Well, fuck me. The combination of the words Kate had just spoken and the fire smoldering in her eyes made all kinds of filthy thoughts race through my mind. After how quickly she'd run out the other night in the middle of our smoking hot makeout session, I'd figured that the door was closed on anything physical between us. I loved having her here, loved watching her cook tonight, and I'd spent the entire evening telling myself I was fine with things being strictly platonic. But seeing as she just told me in no uncertain terms that she wanted to start having casual sex, clearly I was wrong. And just as clearly, I was totally and wholeheartedly on fucking board with sex of any kind with this woman. Casual, committed, tantric, I didn't care. The hard-on I'd been sporting pretty much nonstop around her was ready to take the plunge, literally. I groaned and pushed my hands roughly through my hair. You're killing me here. You know that, right? Will you tell me what you're thinking? Kate rested her elbows across from me on the counter, leaning forward enough to give me the perfect view of her cleavage, causing a stirring behind my zipper. I'm thinking that the last thing I want to do right now is play dad and put my kid to bed, I replied, my voice low and gravelly. Glad you're on board, she murmured, her gaze wandering lazily over my body. Come over after 9 tonight? If I could have pressed her up against the wall right then and there, I would have, but the last thing we needed was Maddie catching us a second time. Why don't you come to my place, where we know there won't be any... unexpected visitors, she said, moving next to me at the counter so I could feel the heat of her skin next to mine. I groaned again and rubbed the back of my neck. I like to be in the house while Maddie's asleep, but my bedroom door has a lock so we won't get interrupted again, I promise, I added, turning and looking deep into her eyes. Kate sighed and shifted her stance. I could practically see the gears working in her mind. Please don't let my daughter be the one thing that holds you back. All right, she said, smiling softly. See you at 9. Shortly after Kate left, I called Maddie inside to begin her nighttime routine. Thankfully, having Kate over making dinner plus an extra half hour of playtime outside had sufficiently worn Maddie out, so she was as sweet and docile as ever all through bath time and brushing her teeth. Tucking Maddie into her bed, I pushed her still damp hair off her forehead and gave her a kiss. Night, sweetie. Don't let the bed bugs bite. I won't, Daddy. She yawned, rolling over onto her side. Night, night. I slowly crept out of her room, nearly shutting the door behind me. She liked to sleep with the door cracked and the hallway light on. Walking quickly to the bathroom to freshen up, I checked the clock. 8:50. I still had some time to clean up the kitchen and maybe brush my teeth. After placing the dishes in the dishwasher, I wiped down the kitchen counter as fast as I could before heading back into my bathroom. I quickly brushed my teeth and checked my reflection in the mirror. As far as I could tell, I looked the same as always, but I pushed my fingers roughly through my hair a few times for good measure. Why was I suddenly nervous? Just as I was debating whether I should light a candle or two to set the mood, I heard a gentle knock on the door, and my dick was standing at attention already. Let's do this. I opened the front door to find Kate standing there with a devilish grin on her face, her hair slightly more tousled than it was the last time I saw her. I was half expecting you to show up in a trench coat with nothing else underneath, I murmured, ushering her inside. As she walked past me, I caught a faint whiff of some delicious-smelling perfume, and I couldn't help but smile to myself. The thought of Kate in her apartment only a few yards away, getting herself all primped and ready for our hookup, it was pretty sexy. A trench coat? Man, you clearly need to get laid more. She chuckled, turning and arching her brow at me. Even in a simple outfit of leggings and a sweater, she was sexy, and I couldn't wait to put my hands all over her curves. That's the idea, I replied, slipping my arm around her waist and pulling her toward me. I closed the front door and wrapped a hand around her waist, letting my fingers graze and gently squeeze her perfect ass. She inhaled sharply and stifled a small gasp. Not one to waste time, I see. She ran her hand down my chest and abs, stopping just shy of the growing bulge in my jeans. I've been waiting too long for this, I growled, my need for her becoming more and more urgent by the second. I took her hand in mine and led her to my bedroom, making sure to firmly close and lock the door behind us. Better safe than sorry. When I turned, Kate's gaze drifted from mine down to the obvious erection in my jeans. That for me? She smiled. I cleared my throat. I think you know it is. Come here, big guy. I think we should just set some ground rules first. She took a seat on the edge of my bed and motioned for me to join her. Okay. What did you have in mind? Just want to make sure we're on the same page with everything, she said as I sat down beside her. My skin still felt electric with desire for her, but she was right. We needed to talk about what was going on. Well, she said, leaning her head back and looking at the ceiling. After the other night, that hot and totally unexpected kiss, I just realized that we clearly have chemistry. And if you're on board for something casual and I'm on board for something casual, then what's the point in denying us both something that could be mutually beneficial? I smiled, unable to keep my gaze from wandering to her chest. You make it sound like we're entering into a business transaction. It kind of is, she said, leaning toward me. When it's no strings attached, you've got to make sure that each person is getting exactly what they need. Nothing more and nothing less. Sounds like you've done this before. I gave her a teasing look. Casual sex does happen to be my forte, she replied with a wink. But no, I've never done this, officially at least. I'm more a one- or two-night girl, three or four if he's worth the trouble. She laughed, and I made myself laugh with her. The thought of her doing this with another man made me want to put my fist through a wall. It wasn't that I was feeling possessive or threatened because of her experience. On the contrary, it was clear then, more than ever, that she knew exactly what she wanted. Me, on the other hand, while I wasn't a stranger to the occasional casual hookup, a part of me always wondered if a connection could turn into something more serious, something lasting, someone who would love Maddie as much as I did. But I knew that the minute I even hinted at wanting someone to accept me as a package deal, to love me and love my daughter, Kate would be on the first bus out of town. She didn't do commitment. And if this was all I was going to get from her, then I'd take what I could get. I cleared my throat, realizing she was waiting for me to answer. That's fair, I said, leaning back on my hands. So, what exactly do you need? I want to make sure you feel comfortable. I just think it's best that we're always honest when we communicate, she replied, her tone serious. The minute one of us starts lying about what we want or avoids having a real conversation, that's when this whole thing breaks down and it all becomes way messier than it needs to be. I nodded. Honesty. I could do that. Totally agree. Anything else? She leaned her head from side to side. Maybe no sleepovers? Cuddling through the night is a surefire way to catch feelings. Catch feelings. She made it sound like the plague. No sleepovers. Got it. Plus, with Maddie, that's probably not a good idea anyway.
Exactly.
Kate nodded, shifting her position on the bed so she was facing me more fully. Any ground rules you'd like to lay down? I smiled, finding the intent look on her face both adorable and incredibly sexy. I think that covers it. Honesty and no sleepovers. I tilted her chin to mine, stealing a sweet kiss, and when her lips parted, I deepened the kiss. The feel of her tongue exploring mine had me rock hard again. It was as if my body had muscle memory and knew we were about to get another shot at this. Pulling back for a second, I met her eyes. You'll let me know if you want to take things to a kinkier place, right? You won't just tell me to choke you in the heat of the moment without the two of us talking about it first. She laughed.
Choking isn't really my kink, but yes, we'll talk about it before entering into any new territory between the sheets. Any kinks of yours I should be aware of?
Just the usual. I'm particularly fond of oral.
A man who likes blowjobs. I'm stunned.
I chuckled. Receiving is nice, but I actually meant giving. She blinked, like this surprised her.
Oh.
I've been thinking about it for weeks. What you'll taste like, the sounds you'll make, how fast I can make you come for me, I murmured, bringing my mouth to her neck. Kate let out a soft, need-filled noise, bringing her lips closer to mine. I leaned in, and our mouths met in a soft, warm kiss. She moaned softly, and our kisses grew faster, more urgent. I hoisted her on top of me, swinging her legs over my hips, so she was straddling me while I sat up on the bed, supporting us both. I moved my lips again to her neck, nibbling gently on her earlobe as I slipped my hands under her shirt to unhook her bra. Once the clasp was undone, she quickly pulled her shirt and bra over her head and tossed them across the room. My hands moved to the full, supple roundness of her breasts, massaging them gently and rubbing her nipples between my thumb and forefinger. Reveling in the feel since our time had been so fleeting that night. She moaned, arching her spine and throwing back her head. I moved my mouth from her neck, trailing my tongue along her collarbone and dipping down to her breasts. She smelled like heaven, a warm feminine scent with a trace of vanilla. Her breathing grew heavy as she began rocking her hips over mine, the friction from our clothes making my cock stiffer by the second.
"Take these off," she said, sliding off my lap and tugging at my waistband.
After unbuckling my belt, she unfastened my jeans and reached into my briefs to pull out my cock. We kissed again, faster and rougher than before, as Kate worked her hand over my length, causing low, growling groans to rise up from deep within me. Jesus, it has definitely been a while since a woman has taken me in her hands. That feels incredible. As she continued with that motion, I took my shirt off and tossed it aside. We lay back on the bed, both moaning and breathing hard, and I slipped my hand into her pants, my fingers quickly meeting the warmth and wetness between her thighs. I rubbed along the length of her. "You're so wet," I whispered, my voice going hoarse from the incredible movement of her hand.
"You're like a rock," she whispered back, "and I forgot how pretty your cock was."
"Pretty." The word halted the movement of my fingers. She laughed, looking down at her hand and slowing its movements against me.
"Yes, see?"
As her palm worked over my stiff length, I looked down, trying to see what she saw. A flesh-colored 8 inches of thick erection that her fingers couldn't even close around. But pretty. That was a hard pass. Alteration to our agreement. Let's not use the word pretty ever again in relation to any of my body parts, especially my dick, I said, pressing my lips to hers.
"Deal,"
I could have gone on like that forever, the two of us taking our time, drawing out the pleasure more than we did before. But this was our first time having uninterrupted sex, and there was no way I was letting it end with a hand job. I shifted away from her to stand and step out of my jeans. Leaning down, I slowly peeled Kate's leggings away from her body, relishing each moment as I unveiled more and more of her soft, supple skin. "You're so fucking sexy," I murmured, taking in the sight of her before joining her on the bed. I was more than ready for the night I'd been waiting for since the first time I laid eyes on her.
Chapter 9. I could hardly believe this was happening. After Hunter had put Maddie to bed, I'd sneaked back over, and it hadn't taken long for things to get hot and heavy. The anticipation had only made me want him more, and we'd hardly closed the door before clothes came flying off. I let out a soft moan as Hunter's tongue traced across my nipple. Luckily, he was as good at this as I remembered from the night of my birthday. He moved to the other breast, teasing me with his tongue as his hand slid to the waistband of my panties. I arched my back, anticipating his fingers sliding against me, but instead he moved his hand to stroke my inner thigh. I'm going to lose it if he doesn't touch me soon. He lifted his head from my breast, looking me in the eye as he moved his hand from my thigh to the inside of my black lace panties. He moved torturously slow, before gently sliding a finger along the length of my wetness. I let out a gasp as he stroked me more firmly, tension building inside me. Hunter watched me, his deep, sexy gaze boring into mine, and as he slipped two fingers deep inside me, I let out a cry of pleasure. His fingers were touching me in all the right places, and I knew I wasn't going to last long. And then his mouth moved lower, leaving wet, sucking kisses against my needy core until he found my clit and gave it a firm suck. My hips almost shot off the bed at how good that felt. There was no awkward fumbling, no tentative touches. He knew exactly what he was doing, and holy hell, the man had a talented tongue. Within minutes, I was grinding against him, whimpering softly as his tongue traced the most delicious pattern over my hot flesh. I moaned his name and every muscle in my body tightened, my hips rocking with the movement of his fingers inside me. Just before I was about to lose all control, he pulled his hand away. I let out a whimper, aching for more. "Need to be inside you when you come," he murmured, placing a kiss against my inner thigh. He moved down the bed as I tried to catch my breath, sliding my panties off before tossing them to the floor. He rose to his knees, revealing the most absolutely perfect cock. Unable to stop myself, I sat up and reached for him, slowly stroking his length. He groaned in pleasure, and I pushed him back on the bed so I could straddle him. I moved down his body, kissing his chest, flicking my tongue across his nipples. I ran my tongue down his abs, then paused before moving it over the tip of him. He inhaled sharply as I took him in my mouth, working my tongue over the sensitive tip. I moved my mouth slowly, taking more and more of him each time. Looking up at him, I met his eyes as I took him fully in my mouth until his cock reached the back of my throat. His whole body tensed, and I could tell he was close. "You're killing me," he said on a groan. I looked up and found him propped on his elbows, watching me with a worshipful expression. I loved doing this for him, making him feel good in this way. The more I'd gotten to know him, the more I knew he didn't get many shots at pleasure like this. Hunter repositioned us so I was underneath him, then pushed my thighs apart and grabbed a condom. The last time, he'd lain there leisurely while I rolled it onto him. But tonight was different. He made quick work of the condom and then guided himself to my center. Pressing forward, he pushed inside me. We let out a collective groan, my body shuddering with the welcome invasion. "You feel so good," he groaned again, sliding in deeper. We were both nearly there, and it wouldn't take much of a push to send us careening over the edge we were so precariously standing on. "So warm." I arched my back so I could take him in farther, wanting to feel him fully inside me. He moved slowly, carefully at first, and it was driving me wild with desire. He pulled himself fully out for a moment, and I reached for him, needing him back, needing that connection to remain unbroken. He took my arms and pinned them above my head before plunging himself into me with an almost breath-stealing momentum.
"Hunter!"
I cried out as he thrust faster and faster, rocking my hips against him, pleasure building again in my body. I was moaning loudly, lost in the moment, and he reached up to cover my mouth with his hand, which only turned me on more. I watched him move above me as heat raced through me. We were both racing toward the finish line, and I couldn't do a thing to stop it. Wrapping my legs around his waist so our bodies were intertwined as close as they could be, I finally let go, not holding anything back as my body squeezed his and we both came. Neither of us moved as we tried to catch our breath, Hunter's chest rising and falling against mine. After a minute, he turned his head toward me and kissed me before moving to lie next to me. Leaning back in the bed, he said,
"That was worth the wait?"
I asked, grinning.
"Definitely worth the wait. I don't remember you being so vocal last time."
I slapped him playfully. "You didn't seem to mind." He grinned, slipping his arm around my shoulders. I curled into him, laying my arm across his chest. I'd been worried about the after-sex awkwardness, but this was so comfortable that I was tempted to lie back and fall asleep. This was so not me. Usually, after I finished having sex with a guy, I was out the door as fast as possible. Cuddling wasn't really my thing either, but with Hunter, it all seemed so natural. I closed my eyes, running my hands along his firm, muscled chest. I knew I needed to go back to my own place, so I forced myself to sit up. "I should probably get out of here," I said, slipping out of bed and searching for my clothes. He nodded, and I thought I saw disappointment flash across his face. "But this was great," I added as I pulled on my shirt. "At least this time I don't have to run out in shame."
"That is a major improvement,"
he grinned, pulling on a t-shirt and his boxer briefs. We tiptoed down the stairs to his front door, careful not to wake Maddie with our footsteps. I practically held my breath until I was outside. I could safely say that I never wanted her to see me in a compromising position with her dad again.
"Good night, Kate,"
he said, leaning against the doorframe. He looked so good standing there that I couldn't help myself. I grabbed his shirt and pulled him in for one final kiss. Even after everything that had just happened, I still felt my skin prickling and my stomach flipped. His tongue slipped into my mouth, and I gripped his t-shirt harder. When he finally pulled back, I had to catch my breath. "Jesus, Kate, you just had sex." I needed to get away from him before I started pulling my clothes off again. "Good night," I said, taking a step back.
"See you tomorrow."
I nodded, smiling, as he gently shut the door. I practically floated up to my apartment. Letting out a contented sigh, I lay back in my bed, mentally patting myself on the back for making the right decision. Why had we ever hesitated to do that? Most guys I slept with didn't even know where the clit was, and the ones who did didn't know what to do with it when they found it. But Hunter, he was something else, and some of the things he could do with his tongue should be illegal. I was still savoring the memory when my phone buzzed.
"I think we may have broken the bed."
I let out a snort. Apparently, Hunter was still thinking about it as well. "That was nothing. I think you're going to need a new bed by the end of this." I grinned to myself as I hit send.
"Totally worth it."
I smiled as I drifted off to sleep. Hunter was sexy, amazing in bed, and fun to hang out with. I couldn't believe I'd thought this was going to be so complicated. Now, not only did I have a great apartment and landlord, I was living just steps away from the best sex I'd ever had.
Chapter 10. Kate sucked in a sharp inhale as she walked into my kitchen, staring wide-eyed at the cut on my hand.
"Hunter, oh my God, what happened?"
"It's fine. It's fine. I was just trying to make cookies," I said, grabbing a fistful of paper towels to soak up the blood. Applying pressure to the cut, I raised my hand in the air above my heart. See? All better. But there's no step in a cookie recipe that requires a knife, she exclaimed, dropping her purse on the counter and looking around to figure out what went wrong. Were you trying to cut open an eggshell? To be fair, my hand was bleeding profusely, but it felt a little like she was overreacting. Still, watching her freak out over my well-being was kind of sexy. Listen, when I asked for your help with Maddie's preschool bake sale, I wasn't looking for any of your judgment, I said, raising my eyebrows at her. Clearly, the cookies are a bust. When I agreed to help you, I didn't realize you were so helpless, she said, placing her hands on her hips as she surveyed the ingredients lined up on the counter. She began sorting through them all, separating the dry ingredients from the wet, before clapping her hands and looking at me triumphantly. I figured it out, she said, beaming at me as she tied an apron around her waist. Did you bring your own apron? I chuckled. This woman is something else. I'm choosing to ignore your mockery. I've decided to make a pie instead, she replied, cutting butter into a bowl. What are you doing here? Maddie asked Kate, walking into the kitchen from the backyard, where she'd been playing outside. Maddie, be nice to our neighbor. Kate's here to help, I said, raising an eyebrow at my daughter as I gathered first aid supplies for myself. No, it's fine. That's a fair question. Kate smiled, brushing her hair out of her face with the back of her hand. Well, Maddie, I'm here to help with your bake sale. Your dad was trying to make cookies, but he couldn't quite figure it out. So now I'm making a pie. Maddie nodded, looking over at me before turning and watching Kate measure out a cup of flour and pour it over the cold butter. Does pie have gluten in it? Maddie asked, scrunching up her nose. Not this one, Kate replied, turning the label on the sack of flour so Maddie could see it. I'm using gluten-free flour for the crust so it won't upset your tummy. Or mine, she said with a wink. Maddie smiled and climbed up onto one of the bar stools at the counter to watch Kate more closely. Kate worked the flour and butter together, making sure to stand a little to the side so that Maddie could see what she was doing. Kate cracked an egg over the crumbly dough, mixing it together even more before turning to give Maddie a long, measured look. Hey, Maddie, do you think you could help me? She asked. Maddie's eyes widened as she nodded. Make sure you wash your hands first, I said, as Maddie clambered down from the stool. She quickly made a beeline to the guest bathroom. Is that okay? Kate turned to me. I guess I should have checked with you first before asking Maddie. She just looked so interested. Plus, I figured it'd be good to have her finally forget about that whole adult time thing once and for all. Give her a new memory to replace that one. We both laughed. It's more than okay, I said. I'm just hoping she didn't inherit my baking skills, or lack thereof. I couldn't believe how easily Maddie seemed to be warming up to Kate. Once Maddie came scampering back into the kitchen, Kate rolled out the pie crust, and the two of them laid it in the tin together. For as anti-kid as Kate had told me she was, there was no denying that when it came to letting my daughter help her make a pie, she was a natural. For a moment, I just watched them, under the pretense of cleaning up the mess I'd made on the counter. But really, it was just such a rare thing to have a woman cooking in my kitchen, listening to my daughter's giggles as they worked together, that I wanted to linger. I hadn't dated anyone seriously enough to warrant domesticity like this since Maddie was born. Kate and Maddie made the filling together, Kate slicing apples into a bowl, while Maddie poured sugar and lemon juice over them. I did my best not to hover, but I was honestly fascinated by how easily they connected. It always bothered me that Maddie didn't have very many female figures in her life besides her grandmother and her teachers, and she was clearly enjoying herself. The two of them continued to assemble the pie, cooking the apple slices over the stove, adding more ingredients I didn't understand to the concoction, and pouring the filling into the tin. I was shocked by how focused Maddie was the whole time and how well she listened to Kate. It seemed to me that we might have found a new hobby for Maddie to explore when she was older. Once they put the pie in the oven, Maddie turned and looked at me triumphantly. Did you see that, Daddy? Me and Kate made a pie. She was grinning from ear to ear, flour stuck to her face and dusted all over her clothes. I did see that. Great job, sweetheart. Reaching out, I gave her a high five.
I can't wait to taste it,
Maddie said, practically bouncing with excitement. In the meantime, I said as I brushed flour out of her hair, why don't we get you cleaned up in time for the bake sale?
Can Kate come with us?
Maddie asked, looking up at me with wide, pleading eyes. Well, I looked at Kate and back down at Maddie. That's up to Kate. It's a Saturday and she probably has other plans.
Please come with us, Kate,
Maddie pleaded, throwing her head back and sticking out her lower lip.
I want to tell everyone that I helped you make it. No one will believe that he did it,
she added, jerking her thumb in my direction. Ah, yes, nothing like a burn from your daughter to really turn on your casual hookup. I furrowed my brow and looked over at Kate. You really don't have to. You've already helped us so much.
I'd love to come.
No way I'm letting you take all the credit for our awesome pie, she winked. Maddie let out an excited yell, bouncing around the kitchen as she talked about all the people Kate would meet at the bake sale. Kate and I couldn't help laughing, watching Maddie freak out, and I walked over to stand next to Kate. I don't want you to feel obligated, I said to her, my voice low. I'm going to give the little one a quick bath, and it'll be easy to make up an excuse for you. Preschool bake sales weren't really an item in our recent negotiations. She grinned, arching a sculpted eyebrow in my direction. I'm not doing this because I feel obligated as your buddy to Pound Town, she whispered, watching Maddie to make sure she couldn't hear. I'm doing this because your daughter asked me to, and we're just starting to warm up to each other. Besides, I was serious when I said there's no way I'm letting you take the credit. I smiled and shrugged. Whatever you say, just don't come crying to me when you're dying of boredom at a preschool event. An hour later, Kate knocked on our front door again, looking freshly put together in jeans and a flowy red tank top and sandals. She looked good enough to eat. When she left to change and finish up a short article before the bake sale, she had given me strict instructions on when to check the color of the pie and how to know when it was done. Between giving Maddie a quick bath and getting her into clean clothes, I followed Kate's instructions as best I could. My one small failure was letting one side of the pie get a little darker than the other, a fact that Maddie wouldn't let me forget no matter how many times Kate told her it was okay.
But Daddy, Kate and I made a pie and you messed it up, Maddie protested,
getting that look on her face that told me she was about 2 minutes away from a meltdown. And I thought today was going so well. You're right. You and Kate did a great job with the pie, but like Kate said, the pie will taste fine, even if one side is browner than the other, I said calmly, smoothing Maddie's hair back. But she scrunched up her face and turned away from me, crossing her arms with a humph. I looked to Kate apologetically. Suddenly, bringing her with us to the bake sale didn't seem like such a good idea. I was about to open my mouth to warn Maddie that our neighbor wouldn't come with us if she didn't change her attitude, when Kate walked over to Maddie, squatting down low so they were at eye level. I think that this pie will be even better now that your dad helped us. You and I did great putting the pie together, and your dad was a huge help taking it out of the oven, she said, her expression serious, then leaned in a little closer to Maddie. And you want to know a secret? Maddie nodded and leaned in.
I like the crust a little brown on one side, Kate whispered.
Maddie's eyes grew wide, and she stared at Kate for a moment before turning to look at me.
I guess you did good, Daddy,
Maddie said shyly, looking down at the floor. Well, I'll be damned. Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. I gave Kate a grateful look. Now, who's ready for a bake sale? The three of us piled into my car, Kate holding the pie in the front seat while I clipped Maddie into her car seat in the back. The whole ride to the school, Maddie chattered about her friends at preschool, what their moms were making, and what treats she was hoping to buy. Kate listened politely, oohing and aahing at all the right times, while looking over at me periodically with a knowing smile. I did my best to listen and respond to Maddie during the drive, but I couldn't help having second thoughts about bringing Kate with us to the bake sale. A lot of the moms at the preschool were over-involved, both in their kids' lives and in the lives of other parents. I was one of two single dads at this preschool, and let's just say that between the two of us, I was the one more highly sought after. I didn't want any claws coming out because the single moms thought I had a new girlfriend. By the time we arrived at the school, the front lawn was already jam-packed with parents and their kids milling around a long wooden table where rows and rows of baked goods were on display. Maddie quickly spotted her friends and dragged Kate and me over to them, where I introduced Kate to the other parents as our new neighbor. Kate was kind enough to bake this pie for us, with Maddie's help, of course, I said. I'm hopeless when it comes to baking. When I walked in, he was trying to crack an egg open with a knife. Kate snorted, already charming the hell out of the other parents. They all laughed and began teasing me about my horrible baking skills, sparing no details when it came to all the times I tried to pass off store-bought cookies as my own. "You would have gotten away with it if you'd just remembered to remove the price tag," my friend Sandra said, laughing. Sandra was Ashley's mom, and Ashley was Maddie's best friend. The two of them were already giggling and pointing at all the different cakes and cookies lined up on the table, chattering away like only four-year-old girls can. Just as I was about to come up with a response, someone tapped me on the shoulder. I turned to find a petite woman standing there in tight jeans and one of the t-shirts the preschool had made for the parents on the board. She was smiling widely at me and tossed her hair over one shoulder before speaking. "Hunter, I didn't know you'd be here. Did you bake something?" she said loudly, her voice cheery and excited. "Hey, June, how are you?" "No, this time around I had to call in reinforcements." I stepped back to make room for Kate in the conversation. June gave Kate a quick once-over before smiling broadly and sticking out her hand. "Well, hi there, stranger. I'm June, Erica's mom. How do you know our Hunter?" she asked, looking quickly from Kate's face to mine and then back to Kate's. "Our Hunter?" "I'm his neighbor," Kate said, smiling and shaking June's hand. "I didn't realize he had such a reputation for being a horrible baker." June kept smiling, but something in her eyes changed. I couldn't help but feel uncomfortable about the way she was looking at Kate. June had been hinting that she was into me for a while, and judging by the eye daggers she was silently throwing in Kate's direction, I was guessing those feelings hadn't changed, despite the fact I'd never shown any interest in her. "Well, Hunter," June said, her voice taking on a more serious tone, "you know you can call me any time with whatever you need. I'm always here to offer you my services," she added, raising her eyebrows slightly. As she spoke, she put her hand on my arm, squeezing it slightly. "Thanks, June. I appreciate that," I smiled politely. June nodded and gave my arm another squeeze before sauntering away to monitor some rogue preschoolers stealing licks of frosting off cupcakes around the corner. "I didn't realize how popular you were here," Kate said, watching Maddie and Ashley survey brownies a few feet away from us. "Yeah, the whole single dad thing kind of makes me stand out," I replied as the two of us wandered in Maddie's direction. "It seems like you're a pretty hot commodity around here," Kate said. "I guess. I think the moms are just happy to see some dads around every once in a while." We walked in silence for a while, watching Maddie and occasionally chatting with the other parents. Kate continued to be her charming, outgoing self, but in between conversations, I could tell that something was bothering her. Suddenly, I felt bad for bringing her. I was sure that hanging out at a preschool bake sale was the last thing she wanted to do on her Saturday afternoon. "Great, drive your hookup away with how boring your life really is. Nice one, Hunter." Maddie picked out the baked goods she wanted, and we stepped in line to pay. Kate stood with me in line while Maddie ran around the lawn with Ashley and a few of her other friends. I was happy to let her get the last of her energy out before going home for the afternoon. "Hey," Kate said, crossing her arms and lowering her voice. "Just because we're messing around doesn't mean you can't date. Clearly, June's into you, and I'm sure a lot of the other moms here are too. If that's what you want, you should totally go for it. I'll just fade into the background. No hard feelings." Her words hit me like a sucker punch, straight to the crotch. Didn't see that coming. Kate, I... Before I could finish, Maddie came barreling into me, wrapping her arms around my legs and laughing.
Safe! I'm safe!
She cried, laughing hysterically as her friends formed a circle around us, clearly annoyed that they couldn't tag Maddie in their game. I gave Kate an apologetic look before looking down at Maddie. This is your 5-minute warning, okay? It's almost time to go.
Oh, okay,
Maddie said, still gripping my legs and leaning into me, opting to stay at my side rather than run off and enjoy the last 5 minutes with her best friend. Soon, we were at the front of the line. We paid for our 2 brownies and slice of cake, happy to find that every slice of our apple pie had been sold.
Told you a little brown on top makes it better,
Kate bent down and said to Maddie. The two of them smiled at each other, and Maddie ran to her side to give her a small hug. Once back at my place, I put Maddie down for some quiet time. When I came back into the kitchen, I found Kate standing over the sink, cleaning up from the pie baking earlier. You don't have to do that, I said, joining her by the sink.
I made the mess. It only makes sense that I clean it up, she replied, scrubbing the last bits of crusty dough out of the mixing bowl.
I gently took the bowl and sponge out of her hands. I don't think that's how it works. Kate let me take them and moved out of the way, turning to stand next to me as she leaned against the counter. I really appreciate all your help today, I said, loading the measuring cups into the dishwasher. I can't imagine what we would have done without you.
Yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. It was fun, she said, shrugging with a smile.
Also, as far as what you were saying earlier about June, she's been into me for a while, and she's been less than subtle about it. If I wanted to date her, I would have done that already. I'm not interested. Kate nodded but didn't look at me, staring into the living room behind me.
Well, even if it's not just her, just know that I'm okay with that. You dating someone else?
She was trying to be nice, but why does that thought make me want to hit something? I took a deep breath, trying to keep any agitation out of my voice. I'll keep that in mind.
Chapter 11. I glanced out the window looking for signs of Hunter. It was a sunny day, and I was hoping he'd be outside playing with Maddie or working on the yard. I hadn't seen him since the bake sale, and I couldn't seem to get him off my mind. I'd tried meditation and yoga, but after my first downward dog, I gave up. I'd even considered going on a run before deciding I didn't need him off my mind that bad. Something was gnawing at me, making me uneasy, but I couldn't quite put my finger on why. I thought maybe if I could just see him, I would finally be able to concentrate and figure out what was up with me. When I tried to distract myself with work, my mind kept drifting, so I decided to clean the kitchen. Usually, cleaning and organizing relaxed me, but as I wiped down the countertops, I only grew more and more anxious. I mean, we'd had a great time at the bake sale, but suddenly I was feeling like a crazy person. I loaded the dishes into the dishwasher and picked up the bottle of detergent, realizing that I'd been staring blankly at nothing, completely zoned out for several minutes. After closing the dishwasher, I pressed start and walked away, determined to get out of my head. A few minutes later, I jolted. There were bubbles everywhere. Fuck, I'm losing it. I took a deep breath, worried that I was no longer adorably neurotic, but had become full-blown psychotic. Whatever the case, I had a kitchen full of bubbles that needed to be dealt with. Yeah, so I'd wanted to get Hunter's attention, but this wasn't the way I'd intended. There was only one thing to do. I called Hunter. He came over in a couple of minutes, looking painfully sexy in jeans and a white t-shirt that fit snugly on his muscular arms. Shit, he said when he walked in, setting down his toolbox. The kitchen floor was filled with bubbles and soapy water. I'm so sorry, I have no idea what happened. I hovered behind him as he examined the dishwasher. He stopped it and pulled it open, checking something inside. It's fine, just too much detergent, he said, standing back up. How much did you put in there? I shrugged, not wanting to admit that I'd been so distracted by thoughts of him earlier that I may or may not have spaced and dumped half a bottle of detergent inside. I'm so sorry for bothering you. I was just worried I'd broken it or something. I smiled apologetically, hoping he didn't think I was a total idiot who didn't even know how to use a dishwasher.
No problem. I wasn't doing much.
He ran a hand through his hair, his bicep flexing. My breath caught, and I forced myself to look away. I guess I'll just clean up. I grabbed a mop and some towels. Thanks again for your help.
I can stick around and help out.
Are you sure? I don't want to hijack your whole afternoon.
You didn't hijack anything. Maddie's having a play date and won't be home for another half hour.
I set aside the mop and tossed one of the towels to Hunter. Scrubbing my kitchen floor on our hands and knees wasn't the physical activity I'd envisioned in my Hunter-inspired fantasies. Soon we had the mess cleaned up, and Hunter sat back on his heels to survey our work. He wiped the sweat from his forehead, his shirt lifting slightly to reveal his toned stomach. He looked like he'd walked right out of a body spray commercial.
What?
He smirked. Damn, I'd definitely been busted checking him out. Before I had time to process what was happening, I was crawling across the floor to kneel in front of him. Without a word, Hunter lifted my chin and pressed his mouth to mine in a searing hot kiss. When I parted my lips in gentle invitation, his tongue slid against mine. God, this man. He was perfection. Large hands gripped my hips, hauling me in closer as his tongue gently caressed mine. Then he pulled me down on top of him as he lay back on the floor. As we kissed, I slid my hand down his body, palming his erection over his jeans. He groaned as I slipped my hand inside, wrapping it around him and slowly stroking until I could feel him throbbing in my hands. He was so thick that I couldn't fully wrap my fingers around him, and he let out low grunts as I stroked him, gripping even more tightly before finally running my finger over his sensitive tip. Fuck, he grunted, lifting his hips toward my touch. I want you, I murmured.
Get naked.
His voice was a rough growl, and it sent a thrill racing through me. While Hunter yanked off his shirt and then pushed his jeans and boxers down, I stripped out of mine. Then he pulled my t-shirt off over my head and reached for the clasp of my bra, freeing my breasts. He kissed me again as he cupped my breasts in his hands, slowly caressing me. He pinched a nipple in his fingers and I closed my eyes, feeling the sensation move through my body and down between my legs, where I knew I was already wet. He moved to the other breast, and I let out a low moan. I reached out to stroke him again, the feel of how long and thick he was driving me wild with desire. I moved to straddle him, wrapping my legs around his waist, then slid myself forward until his erection pressed against my center. I rocked my hips against him, feeling him press into me the slightest bit. He pulled me even closer, his hand gripping my hair in a knot at the back of my head as he continued to kiss me. Unable to resist any longer, I pulled back and whispered, "I need you inside me." He lifted me again, one hand on my hip and one gripping my ass, and then he lowered us onto the floor. I cried out in pleasure as he pressed himself against my wetness, rubbing just the tip of his erection against me. I moaned his name softly, thrusting my hips forward, needing more. He continued to tease me, pressing just the tip of himself against me as I writhed beneath him. I ran my hands up his shoulders, all the while trying to press myself closer into his lap.
"Condom?"
he asked. Under normal circumstances, I would have felt self-conscious sprinting butt-naked to my bedroom in front of a man, but nothing about this situation was normal. I wanted him. Right here. Right now. Seconds later, I was back with the condom. Hunter readied himself and then pulled me close again. He stared into my eyes for a moment before rocking into me, working himself inside, moving deeper with each thrust. I inhaled sharply as he buried himself in me, digging my nails into his shoulders.
"You feel so good,"
he said, his voice low and husky as he stilled, enjoying the sensation of being buried inside me. He gripped my ass, pushing himself even deeper. I gasped, every part of my body clenching. Closing my eyes, I cried out, my hips rocking against his. We were so frenzied. I wasn't sure if it was because his daughter was due home any minute, or because we were just so desperate for each other. "Hunter," I groaned, inhaling sharply as pleasure poured through every inch of me. Minutes later, a powerful release rocked through me, stealing my breath and making me contract almost violently around him. "Shit, shit, fuck," he cursed, still pumping into me. "Gonna come." "Yes," I cried out, pulling his hips to mine. His breathing changed, and he buried his face against my neck as he came. We breathed heavily for a few minutes, our bodies slippery with sweat. Hunter reached down and brushed the hair back from my forehead as I rolled closer to him. "Well, that was unexpected." He smiled at me and pressed a soft kiss to my lips. "Yeah, I didn't see that coming," I chuckled. Once he helped me up from the floor, we gathered our clothes, and Hunter threw the condom away and washed his hands at the sink. I stilled at the sound of a car idling in the driveway, and then a door opening. "Shit, I think Maddie's home." He smiled apologetically as he peeked out the window. "No need to apologize," I said, quickly dressing. "Thanks for fixing the dishwasher, and the rest of my plumbing." I smirked at him as he tugged his clothes on. "Anytime," he laughed. "Just call me if you need help with that, or anything else, again." Hunter headed toward the door, then turned back. "Also, I wanted to say thanks again for everything at the bake sale. It meant a lot to Maddie." I smiled, touched to hear that she'd had a good time. "Of course. It was fun for me, too." He looked into my eyes for a moment, and my heart skipped a beat. How did he do that? It was like every time he looked at me, I forgot about everything but him. After one last warm smile, he turned and walked down the stairs. Once I'd shut the door, I leaned back against it and slid down so I was sitting on the floor. I put my head in my hands. What was this? Was this how other people acted? Ruining their dishwasher to get a guy's attention? I couldn't deny it anymore. I knew why I was losing my mind. I don't want Hunter dating other people. There it was. The cold, hard, ugly truth. I was pissed that I'd told him I was okay with him going out with that woman from Maddie's school. I liked baking with them. Really liked it. It felt good to be around him, and not just because he knew what he was doing in the bedroom. I even liked hanging out with Maddie, now that we were on good terms. I stood up and looked out the window, not sure how to handle my realization. Shit. I was in deep. I'd never felt this way before. So crazy and desperate over a guy I was sleeping with. Was this what other women felt like when they liked a guy? I didn't know what exactly was happening between Hunter and me, but I definitely hadn't been expecting this twist.
Chapter 12. Here comes the SS Maddie returning from its journey across the ocean. I chuckled, guiding Maddie's plastic bath toy from one end of the tub to the other, making chugging sounds as the little boat floated along. "Yay!" Maddie squealed, splashing her arms in and out of the water in excitement. Morning baths weren't part of our normal routine, but we had stayed up late playing bingo the night before, and I'd completely forgotten about bath time. It wasn't until she crawled into my bed for some early morning cuddles that I realized we'd forgotten it. One whiff of the top of her head, and I knew it was time to take the SS Maddie out for another voyage.
"Where did the boat go this time, Daddy?"
she asked, looking up at me with bright, excited eyes. Leaving the toy bobbing in front of her, I squirted shampoo into my hand and worked it into her hair. As the shampoo foamed up under my fingers, I gently scrubbed her scalp, smiling at the bubbles that formed all over her head. "Well, I heard that it traveled all the way to Iceland since the last time we saw her."
"Iceland?"
"Mm-hmm."
"Is Iceland really cold, Daddy?"
"It is, but not as cold as Greenland. Can you believe that?" Her eyes grew wide as she looked at the little blue boat and shook her head. She then picked up the toy and started talking to it, asking how long it took to get to Iceland and if it saw any ice castles when it got there. I rinsed the shampoo out of her hair, smiling as she splashed and played in the water. It was one of those moments when I knew I should have been watching the clock, making sure that she would get to preschool on time and that I wouldn't be late to work, but I couldn't bring myself to rush through this or ignore how incredibly precious moments like this were. If someone had told me 5 years ago that my life would be completely changed by a tiny, helpless baby coming into my life, I would have told them they were nuts. But from the moment Maddie's mom told me she was pregnant, I knew my life would never be the same. One look at the ultrasound photo, and I was smitten. And when it was clear I'd have to raise Maddie alone, I chose to do it in a heartbeat. There was no other option for me. My little girl became my whole world the moment I learned of her existence. Even if my personal life had taken a bit of a hit because I was busy raising my daughter, every second I spent with her was more than worth it. Maddie was everything to me, and nothing could ever take away from what we had. The pregnancy had obviously been a surprise for us both, but Maddie's mom had no interest. Now she lived across the country and called once a year on Maddie's birthday. Once I finished rinsing the last of the soap off her body, I helped Maddie out to dry off and pulled the plug to drain the tub. I got her dressed and quickly braided her hair before changing into my own work clothes. The two of us brushed our teeth side by side in my bathroom. Soon we were both ready for the day, and as we walked down the hallway to the front door, I checked the clock in the kitchen. Even with the added bath time, we were right on schedule. As I walked out the front door, my gaze ventured up to the apartment above the garage. I couldn't stop my mind from flashing to the other day at Kate's apartment when we'd ended up on the kitchen floor. Not that I was complaining. I'd been surprised that someone as kitchen-savvy as she was would make such a rookie dishwasher mistake, but once we wound up having some of the best sex of my life on her kitchen floor, it all made sense. And hey, I wasn't the kind of guy to turn down quickie kitchen sex. I wasn't entirely sure that that elusive male creature even existed. Sex was amazing, no matter the locale. Blinking away the erotic thoughts, I helped Maddie into her car seat and fastened myself in the front. Let's get you to preschool. By the time I arrived at the office, a huge pile of paperwork was waiting for me on my desk. Sighing, I sat down and immediately got to work. Bus routes on the west side of town needed reorganizing, train tracks needed maintenance, potholes on the highway needed to be filled, and all I could think about was filling Kate. Focus, Hunter, focus. Thankfully, the rest of the day went by in a flash, and soon it was time for me to pick Maddie up from her best friend's house. I'd had a feeling that my last meeting of the day would run a little late, so I scheduled a play date for Maddie with Ashley. Just one of the many skills I'd had to quickly learn as a single dad. On the car ride home, Maddie asked what we'd be having for dinner, and then whined when I told her we'd be having chicken and broccoli, one of our go-to weekday dinners.
Why can't you make the same yummy dinner Kate made us when she came over?
Neighbor Kate is a much better chef than I am, I replied, checking for Maddie's reaction in the rearview mirror. She didn't look convinced.
Well, why can't you tell her to come over and cook for us again?
You have no idea how badly I want to invite her over. Kate has helped us out a lot lately. It's been very nice of her, but we don't want to take advantage of her kindness.
Daddy, what does advantage mean?
I sighed. I just mean that we can't expect her to make us dinner all the time. We have to learn to do it ourselves. Besides, she made it pretty clear a while ago that she wasn't interested in something serious, and the last thing I want to do is use my kid to guilt her into anything. Maddie was silent for a while, staring out the window from her car seat. A few minutes later, she sighed and muttered to herself,
"But I hate broccoli."
I spent all of dinner and all of Maddie's bedtime routine trying to find an excuse to text Kate without sounding completely and hopelessly desperate. I could ask her for the recipe of that meal she made that Maddie loved so much, but I promised myself I'd stop using my daughter as an excuse. I could check in and make sure her dishwasher was holding up okay. But it was clear that the whole dishwasher fiasco was a ruse, and I didn't want to tease her about it. By the time I put Maddie to bed, I was completely stumped and ready to just shoot Kate a dumb, hey, text. As I tucked Maddie in, placing a kiss on her forehead and telling her I loved her, I couldn't help but shake my head at the stupidity of this whole situation. This little princess was the only one who truly mattered in my life. Even if my new tenant was fun, I was a dad first. Maddie and I were a package deal, and long term, I'd need a woman who understood that.
Good night, Daddy,
Maddie said softly, her eyelids fluttering closed. My heart squeezed as I looked down at her small form curled up under the blankets. Good night, sweetheart. See you in the morning. I walked to my bedroom and grabbed my phone from the bedside table. Checking the screen, I was surprised to see that I had a text waiting from Kate.
Are you there?
Her text was more direct than usual. Something might be wrong. I called her immediately, worried that she might be in trouble.
Hello?
She whispered, her voice barely a squeak. Kate, hi. Is everything okay? I tried to keep my voice calm and measured. The last thing she needed was to hear me freaked out.
I heard a noise. I think there might be someone or something here. Do you think you could come over and check it out?
Within a few minutes, I was walking through Kate's unlocked front door and into her darkened apartment. Maybe I should have grabbed a baseball bat or something. Kate, I called out, my eyes still adjusting to the darkness.
Over here,
she replied in a loud whisper. Following her voice, I walked into the living room to find her curled up on the couch under a blanket pulled all the way up to her chin. Her eyes were the size of softballs and glued to the horror movie playing on the TV. Part of me thought that she looked genuinely freaked out, but after the way she staged the dishwasher disaster before, I wasn't so sure. What are you watching? I asked, my voice neutral. If she was really freaked out, I didn't want to seem like I was making fun of her.
Well,
she said, turning to look at me and widening her eyes even more.
This movie came on TV, and at the beginning, it didn't look like it would be scary. It just looked really interesting. So I kept watching, and, well, it really freaked me out, and then I heard a noise on the other side of the apartment, and now here you are.
She said it all at once, her explanation coming out in a fast, steady stream, almost like she'd been rehearsing it for the past 10 minutes. I smiled. That sounds awful, I said, a little sarcastically, grabbing the remote from her coffee table and switching the movie off. Let's start by getting the screaming and the zombies off your TV.
Good idea,
she said, nodding and shifting under her blanket on the couch. Well, I think there's only one thing left to do, I said, tucking my hands into my back pockets.
What's that?
She furrowed her brow, her eyes still wide. I think you'd better come sleep over at my place. Her eyes grew even wider.
Can we do that?
We'll set an alarm so you can sneak out early. Not that we'll be doing much sleeping.
That'll be the shortest walk of shame ever.
At least there's a good chance no one will see you. We both laughed.
Yeah, I think sleeping over would be nice, she said, sitting up and tucking her hair behind her ear.
Good, I smiled. Now, get out from under that blanket so we can get out of here before the zombie in your bedroom finds us. She rolled her eyes, but followed me to the door where she slipped her shoes on. Kate and I crept quickly and quietly over to my place, tiptoeing past Maddie's room and into mine. Once Kate stepped around me, I closed and locked the door behind us. Never making that mistake again. I turned around and Kate wrapped her arms around me, pressing her lips to mine with surprising softness.
Thanks for rescuing me, she said between kisses, running her hands over my chest and shoulders.
I'm glad you called. I moved my hands down to her waist. You never know what kind of crazies are out there.
Mm-hmm,
she murmured as my mouth moved to her neck, gently nibbling the soft skin below her ear. She made a tiny, need-filled sound and pulled at the buttons on my shirt, slowly unfastening them one by one. While her fingers worked at getting my shirt off, I slid my hands under her top, reaching around to undo the clasp of her bra. We both finished our tasks at the same time, pausing to pull our shirts over our heads and toss them to the floor. I then guided Kate to the edge of my bed, where I slowly peeled down her black leggings, enjoying each new inch of bare skin on display. Once her pants were off, I quickly shed my jeans. Our eyes locked. We removed our underwear at the same time and stood there for a moment, looking at each other. "Come here." My voice came out rougher than I intended as I took her hand and tugged her to my chest. The feel of her bare skin against mine was exquisite, and all those ample curves were enough to make my mouth water at the opportunity to explore every inch of her body. I lifted her into my arms, and Kate responded by locking her ankles around my hips. Her mouth met mine in a hungry kiss as I lowered us onto the bed. I laid her back, dragging my tongue down her neck and over her breasts, where I paused briefly to suck and tease her nipples as she settled against the pillows. Kate moaned at the feel of my tongue rolling over her skin, making me even more eager to keep moving my mouth farther south. Trailing my lips down her torso, I paused just before I reached my destination, moving instead to her inner thigh. Kate sighed impatiently and chuckled softly. "You're such a... ooh." Before she could finish her sentence, I began kissing between her legs, running my tongue over her sensitive flesh. She was even wetter than I thought she would be, and the warmth of her arousal turned me on more. I continued working my tongue over her pussy, sucking gently on her clit, making her breathe harder and harder. Kate's moans grew more frequent until I sent her over the edge and her orgasm washed over her, causing her back to arch. When her breathing returned to normal, she propped herself up on her elbows, raising one hand and curling her finger at me. "Come here," she whispered. Bringing my face close, I aligned my body over hers, lowering myself until I could feel her breasts pressing into my chest. I was dying to bury myself balls deep right then, but thankfully still had enough functioning brain cells left to reach for the bedside table and grab a condom. After covering myself in latex, I felt Kate's fist curl around me as she guided me back into position. Our mouths stayed fused together as I sank into her tight heat. Kate made a wordless sound of pleasure and shifted to accommodate my length. We both sighed as I slowly slid myself inside her, inch by inch. Unable to hold back, even though I wanted to, I pumped my hips and she lifted her hips with each thrust, matching my pace. We were getting good at this, finding the perfect rhythm with each other quickly and easily, both inside and outside the bedroom. Everything with her felt so effortless. Our breathing quickened. Kate's moans grew more and more frequent, reaching a level of intensity that told me I was going to have to cover her mouth with my hand again. I brought my hand back to her chest, massaging her breast and rolling her nipple between my fingers while she raked her fingernails over my back, occasionally reaching up the back of my neck to gently pull my hair.
"You are amazing," she whispered breathlessly, her back arching again as her second orgasm mounted.
I felt her tighten around me and knew my own release was getting closer. But ladies always came first.
"Come for me," I murmured, and within moments she inhaled a shaky breath, her entire body trembling.
"That's it," I thrust harder, finding the angle that finally made her come apart. That was all it took for me, watching her unravel in my arms. I twitched inside her, emptying myself into the condom as a powerful orgasm tore through me, making me curse under my breath. When I opened my eyes, Kate was watching me in wonder with a small smile on her lips. Panting, we both lay back on the bed, covered in a thin layer of sweat. Just as I settled into my pillow, Kate turned onto her side, propping her head up on her elbow. I turned to look at her and found a mischievous look on her face, a single eyebrow arched.
"What's that look?" I asked, mirroring her body language and rolling onto my side.
"I think I'm in love with this slumber party."
Chapter 13. Cheers to being adults!
Jessie grinned, holding up her margarita. Rebecca had just been promoted at work. Jessie was celebrating her 6th wedding anniversary next week, and I was finally settled in after the move. The three of us hadn't seen each other for a few weeks, so we'd planned a girls' day, complete with manis and pedis, a massage, shopping, and now happy hour at my favorite Mexican restaurant. It was a warm Saturday, and we were sitting on the patio, people watching and catching up. Because I hadn't seen Rebecca or Jessie since I'd moved in, they had no idea what had been going on with Hunter. I'd tried to avoid the conversation because I wasn't exactly sure what to tell them about him, especially since I didn't really understand our relationship myself. "So, how's birthday sex guy?" Rebecca asked, as if she could read my thoughts. My cheeks warmed. God, what was wrong with me? I was like a teenager being asked about her crush. I decided to go on the defensive and try to play it off. "Let's just say he was worth the wait," I grinned, hoping they wouldn't want too many details. "Oh my God, you hooked up?" Rebecca exclaimed, her hand over her mouth. Jessie had stopped in mid-bite of her taco and was gaping at me. "You guys had sex?" she asked incredulously. "How did you not tell us this earlier?" Rebecca asked, sipping her margarita. "It just sort of happened," I trailed off. "A few times." "Oh my God," Rebecca said again. A group of people passing by on the street turned to stare at us. "You're causing a scene," I said in a low voice, raising an eyebrow at her. "Can you stop shouting?" "I can't believe you're having sex with your landlord," Jessie said, then finally took a bite of her taco. "Well, it sounds bad when you put it that way." I furrowed my eyebrows. "We're friends. Friends who watch movies and occasionally have sex on the floor of my apartment." "The floor?" Jessie was laughing now. "That was just one time," I grinned crookedly at the memory. "The rest of the time we've made it to a bed." "Hold on a minute," Rebecca put up a hand. "What do you mean, watch movies? You're actually hanging out? Not just hooking up?" "Kind of. He's fun," I shrugged. "And his daughter is nice." Jessie and Rebecca exchanged meaningful looks. "What?" I asked, finishing my margarita. I hadn't come prepared for the third degree, and it was starting to freak me out. Thankfully, the margaritas were strong. "The daughter who walked in on you? You all hang out now?" "Look, it's just friendly. It's not a big deal. We're not dating." Jessie waved the server over to our table. "We need 3 more, please." She turned back to me. "This is insane. You never like anyone." "I don't like him," I said. "I mean, I do, as a friend. But I told him to date other people." "Kate!" Rebecca was almost shouting again. "What?" I asked, exasperated. I didn't like that they were pushing me on this. 2 people could hang out and like each other without dating, which was what Hunter and I were doing.
"You finally like someone, and you tell him to date other people?" Jessie asked.
"Look, we said from the beginning that it's just casual. You know me." I accepted another drink from our server gratefully. "I'm not looking for something serious." Jessie gave me a curious look.
"But what do you really want from this?"
What did I want? A few orgasms? I could barely answer that question myself, never mind explain what I was feeling to my friends.
"How'd you get his daughter to like you?"
Rebecca raised her eyebrows at me. "Last I heard, she'd chased you out of their house."
"I made them dinner and helped out with this bake sale," I said, taking another large sip of my margarita.
"She warmed up to me." I paused. "But she doesn't know her dad and I are hooking up, which might change the way she feels." Jessie and Rebecca exchanged glances again.
"Can you two please stop doing that?" I asked.
Rebecca put her hand on mine.
"I hate to break it to you, Kate, but it sounds like you and Hunter are dating, or at the very least have feelings for each other."
I pulled my hand away and crossed my arms.
"Come on, we're just casual." "It's okay to date someone," Jessie said, leaning on an elbow. "It doesn't have to be scary. It's just what you've been doing. Cooking, watching movies, hanging out, that's all dating is.
Rebecca nodded. We love you and think you're amazing and just want you to be happy. And it sounds like Hunter does make you happy. Why not just go for it?
I'd thought talking to my friends would help clarify things for me, but it had only made everything more complicated. I didn't date people. It just wasn't who I was. I didn't like commitment.
Hunter and I were having fun now, but what would happen a few years down the road when the fun wore off and reality set in? I'd end up just like my sister, in a bitter divorce.
She'd been in love once, too. She and her ex had seemed like the perfect couple, and now they couldn't even be in the same room together. And our parents didn't have a great relationship either. After barely tolerating each other for many years, they finally divorced when we were teens. This was exactly what I'd spent my life trying to avoid. I hated the idea of loving someone, pouring everything into a relationship, and then having it all go wrong. Several margaritas later, Rebecca and I shared a cab home from the restaurant. As I stared out the window, I slipped deep into thought about the situation with Hunter.
Look, I know this stuff freaks you out, but dating is fun. Seriously, being married is fun. She interrupted my thoughts, patting my shoulder. Aren't you sick of going out on bad dates and having disappointing sex?
I shrugged. I hadn't really thought about it before, but after meeting Hunter, the idea of hooking up with someone else held no interest. I knew I was in denial. I liked Hunter, but I didn't know how to navigate this situation. Usually when things got complicated, I checked out. But rather than wanting to avoid him, I found myself wishing I could see him.
When the cab stopped in front of Hunter's house, Rebecca gave me a sympathetic pat on the knee.
I know you'll figure it out, she smiled.
Thanks, Mom, I laughed, climbing out of the car. I paused and turned back to her. But seriously, you're the best.
I leaned over the seat to give her a quick hug and watched the cab drive down the block. Once I was inside, I changed into sweatpants and a cozy t-shirt and lay back on my bed. After a few minutes of deliberation and a little liquid courage thanks to that last margarita, I decided to text Hunter.
Hey, wanna watch a movie at my place?
I paced the apartment, waiting for his response, and glanced out the window. His bedroom light was on, so that was a good sign. My phone pinged that he'd replied, and I pounced on it.
I'm actually going on a date with the woman from the bake sale. Maybe tomorrow.
I stared at my phone, my heart pounding inside my chest. I tossed the phone aside and put my hands over my face, falling back onto the bed, almost sick to my stomach at the thought. What was I doing? This was insane. I was the one who'd encouraged him to go on a date. I had no right to be upset. But I was. I didn't want him to date other people, but how could I say that to him? I don't want to be in a relationship, but I also don't want you to start a relationship with anyone else. He'd think I was ridiculous, which I was. I pulled a pillow over my face and screamed as I tried not to picture Hunter on his date.
Chapter 14.
More wine, sir? The waiter asked, mercifully interrupting what was quickly becoming the worst date I'd ever been on in my entire life. The charming Italian place used to be one of my favorite restaurants, the perfect blend of classy and not too formal, presumably an excellent choice for a first date. But in this moment, I wanted to leave and never come back. Yes, please, that would be great, I said, trying to ignore the fact that June had spent the past half hour either droning on about her daughter's bowel problems or throwing back glass after glass of white wine. I think we were on number 6, and I was starting to think I should get drunk myself to make it through the rest of this disaster.
You are quickly becoming my favorite waiter, June purred, poking the scared-looking young man in the arm.
Apparently, she was a little tipsier than she realized and poked him harder than she meant to, causing him to spill some wine on the white tablecloth.
My apologies, the waiter said,
clearly panicked, pulling a towel from his apron pocket and dabbing at the spot.
Whoopsies,
June giggled and took another long sip of her wine. No, we're sorry. Don't worry about it, thank you. I gave the waiter an apologetic look and waved him off. With a worried nod, he finished dabbing the spot on the table and hurried away. June turned her attention to me.
So, what about you? Have you given Maddie's grade school any thought? I mean, clearly your mind was in the right place with preschool. Too many parents overlook it as the foundation of a good education, but I think that sometimes it's easy to forget how important the next steps can be.
Apparently, I'd completely tuned out the last part of our conversation, and we had somehow skipped from poo to elementary school. I opened my mouth to respond, but June went on, something about the importance of setting up our children for success as early as possible. Involuntarily, I slowly started to tune her out again. I agreed with what she was saying for the most part, but we'd been talking about our kids for so long I was beginning to think they were the only thing we had in common.
I don't know. What do you think, Hunter?
June was looking expectantly at me, her eyebrows practically touching her hairline. I'm sorry. I must have spaced out for a moment. What were you saying? In any other situation, I would have made up an excuse, but at that point, I didn't really care about saving face. She was plastered, and I was miserable. No point in pretending this was anything other than what it was, right?
I was just wondering what you think about choosing public or private schools. But then there are charter schools, boarding schools. There are just so many choices.
Honestly, I haven't given it too much thought yet. I'm just trying to hang in there with the day-to-day stuff. We've just now got a handle on preschool, I replied, doing my best to sound normal and engaged. If Kate were the one sitting across from me right now, I guarantee I'd be having way more fun right now.
Ugh, you're so right. This single-parent thing is no joke, she nodded, leaning toward me with her elbows on the table. You know I'm always here if you need anything.
I appreciate that, June. We've been managing so far. She nodded again, slowly raising a single eyebrow.
I suppose you already have some extra help? I remember from the bake sale. Kara, was it?
Here we go. Kate, I said coolly. Let the grilling begin.
Kate, right. That was awfully sweet of her to bake that pie for you two. Have your tenants always been so helpful and involved?
Kate's special, that's for sure, I heard myself saying. June's eyebrow arched even higher. It was clear she was trying to make her interest seem as innocent as possible, but I could tell from the look on her face that she was suspicious. And honestly, she had every reason to be. Not that I was about to let her know that. Single dad with a fuck buddy wasn't exactly the reputation I'd been going for among the other preschool parents. Kate's turned out to be such a huge help, I added, putting my best stressed-out parent look on my face. And Maddie has really taken to her. Not to mention Kate's funny, brilliant, confident, sexy, pretty much everything I could ever want in a partner.
How special for you and Maddie, June said, her voice almost too sweet. I might have to steal her from you. I'm always looking for better help.
She winked, clearly misunderstanding the nature of Kate's help, but hey, I wasn't about to correct her. I smiled weakly and took a sip of my wine. Before June could grill me any further about Kate, the waiter arrived with our meals. As he placed my entree in front of me, the smell of the fennel and perfectly browned butter wafted up from the plate, melting away all my frustrations with June. Who cared if I was on a stupid date with a woman who only wanted to talk about the schools our children would go to? Who cared if she ordered a Caesar salad at a restaurant famous for their handmade pasta? I had my sausage and my pasta, and in that moment, that was all that mattered. If Kate were here, she would have ordered something interesting, like the pumpkin ravioli or the eggplant parmesan. She would have let me try some of her food, and I would have rocked her world with this house-made sausage, before rocking her world with my own sausage later. Okay, maybe my food wasn't the only thing that mattered. As the date went on, June managed to become even more boring. When she'd completely exhausted the topic of our kids' schools, she moved on to her new favorite movie that she'd just seen last week.
I'm a sucker for any movie about horses, she said, pushing a crouton around her plate. Put a horse in a movie and I'm there. Have you seen War Horse? If you haven't, you have to. Immediately. It's amazing. I nodded, stuffing a huge bite of sausage into my mouth, so it was clear I couldn't politely respond.
I'd never seen a movie about horses in my life, and I wasn't looking to start anytime soon.
What's the last movie you saw? June asked, batting her lashes.
My mind immediately traveled to the last time I saw Kate, when she was curled up on the couch pretending to be freaked out by a scary movie. It was probably the most creative booty call I'd ever received in my life, but a booty call nonetheless, and not really the kind of thing you mention on a first date, no matter how horribly it's going. Probably something with princesses or talking animals, I said, leaning back in my chair. I don't really have time for adult movies these days.
Adult movies?
A sly grin spread across June's face. Shit. No, not like that. I'm not really a porn guy. Not that there's anything wrong with watching those kinds of films, necessarily. I just, no. But yeah, that's not what I meant. I meant movies not made for children. I didn't know why I was rambling so much. Who cared what this woman thought? Not me, that was for sure. But the last thing I needed was for her to report back to the other parents at her school that I was a porn addict. Not the best look for me. More importantly, it wouldn't bode well for Maddie. Jesus, I just want this night to be over with.
Don't worry, I understand.
June raised her wine glass and gave me a knowing wink. Great. Guess I can add local perv to the list of things I'm known for with the preschool parents. I laughed awkwardly, racking my brain for something to say to change the subject. Before I could come up with anything, the waiter returned to check on us, asking if we'd like to see a dessert menu after eyeing our almost empty plates. For the love of God, let this date end before dessert.
Not tonight, June said to the waiter, crinkling her nose in disappointment. He nodded politely and cleared our plates. Sorry for deciding for you. My babysitter just texted that she needs me.
No worries. I should get back too. I replied, grateful to be wrapping things up. Is everything okay?
Oh, yeah. Everything's fine, she insisted. The babysitter just has a math test or something tomorrow. That's what I get for hiring the high schooler next door.
If I didn't know any better, I would have guessed that June was the one bailing on me. Guess I'm not the only one having a bad time on this date after all. When the waiter returned with our check, I insisted on paying. My values might have been archaic, but letting the woman pay for the first date didn't sit right with me. Kate would kill me if she heard me say that out loud. After finishing our wine, June and I walked to the parking lot together, where I waited until her cab pulled up, and then we shared an uncomfortable side hug. She wore too much perfume, which I found overpowering. It was nothing like Kate's subtle scent. Once the cab drove off, I made my way to my car. I hadn't realized that she took a cab to the restaurant, and suddenly it made sense why she drank so much wine. She was probably a little nervous that I'd finally said yes to her standing dinner date invitation. And besides, what single parent wouldn't want to let a little loose every once in a while, even if that only meant having an extra couple of glasses of wine with dinner? On the drive home, I went over all the times I thought about Kate during dinner. It felt a little unfair to June for me to be so checked out during the time I was supposed to be getting to know her, but I couldn't help it. Every time I thought about what I wanted in a woman, Kate immediately popped into my head. Casual, no-strings-attached sex might be every man's wet dream, but with the way things were going, it was suddenly starting to seem like a really bad idea. Maybe it was because of Maddie. Of course I wanted a female role model for her, and I wanted her to experience a mother's love. Sure, there were parenting books.